Episode number 299, How NRB is Fighting for Freedom to Make Sunday Happen, with Troy Miller, Dan Darling, and Beth Wakefield. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Well, hey guys, welcome to Making Sunday Happen. This is episode number 299. I want to tell you a quick story or some background on me. I went to college at North Greenville University. Now, it was a college when I went to it. That's how far back I go, over 15 years ago. The NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, was looking for student volunteers to help put on the convention. And it was nearby in North Carolina, and I was in South Carolina at the time. And my college media department stepped up, and we took a small group to the convention to serve. Now, that was 2004. And I've been attending the NRB every year since then, serving in some capacity, helping with volunteers or taking speakers where they needed to go or just kind of filling in the gaps, helping in a variety of areas. It's been a blast, and I have literally met lifelong friends through the NRB. It was through the NRB that I was connected with Precept Ministries International, with Bible teacher Kay Arthur. That was the first job that I had out of college, and I went on to produce Kay's television and radio programs, and those programs were broadcasted to nearly 100 million homes worldwide. And I also served as the media director for the ministry for a number of years. I believe in the power of networking. I believe in the power of believers coming together to meet, to learn from each other, and to fight together. Now, why do I tell you all this? Because in today's episode of the show, you're going to hear from the top three leaders of the staff of the NRB, CEO Troy Miller, Communications Director Dan Darling, and Director of Convention and Expo Beth Wakefield. Now, I talk with these three about how NRB is not only leading the way in equipping broadcasters in the areas of digital, TV, radio, podcasting, and more. NRB is an incredible advocacy group, and not many people may know about that. They might know that they put on the convention and help with incredible training in all these areas, but they are a big advocacy group in helping protect our freedoms to make Sunday happen every week. They are behind the scenes working with lawmakers and elected officials, making sure that you have the freedom to preach and teach and broadcast the message of the gospel at your church, and they fight for freedom for you to be on the air. If you have a radio program, a TV program, a podcast, NRB is fighting for you to stay on the air. So this is a really good one and really important for our culture today. So I want you to kind of listen close to my interview with Troy and Dan and Beth. So my interview with the NRB staff is coming up right after this.
And how will they know? How will they hear the stories of people like Nadia and Jacqueline? That's why we need you, the National Association of Religious Broadcasters. It's through the reporting and storytelling that you do of organizations like yours that can serve as catalysts for advocacy.
Since 1944, the NRB has been a light unto the world. And today, your 1,100 members reach countless millions in this nation and across the globe. So let me first off take this opportunity just to thank you for all that you've done for faith and freedom over the years. The work of the NRB has borne fruit for generations.
And I want you to tell people about Jesus. And if religious broadcasting is about anything, then it has to be about that. And I encourage you tonight to be bold, to be clear, and to be about the business.
The gospel of Christ compels contrite, compassionate, courageous action on a multiplicity of culture issues. So let's apply it consistently across our culture while spreading this gospel intentionally across all cultures. And in the end, when our time is done, may it be said of us that we loved the Lord and we led His church for the demonstration of His glory, the display of His gospel amidst the most pressing social issues of our day.
Hey guys, today I'm so excited to welcome three great friends of mine to the podcast, all serve on staff at the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters, which is the world's largest association of Christian communicators. These guys will kind of introduce themselves a little bit too as we go, but Troy Miller, CEO of NRB, Dan Darling, Senior Vice President of Communications, and Beth Wakefield, Director of Events and All Things Convention. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with me.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Carl.
I know it's going to be a little bit Brady Bunch with all four of us tackling this, so we'll try to be as organized as we can. Troy, get us started a little bit, but bring people up to speed for people who may not know what the NRB is or how it relates to church world and ministry. Give us kind of a quick overview of who NRB is.
Sure. Again, thanks for having us here today. So NRB is an Association of Christian Communicators. We've been around since 1944. We represent folks that are in radio, television, internet, print, digital. If you're a communicator, if you're writing books, doing programs, distributing Christian content, then NRB is kind of the place for you. So we've, like I said, we've been around over 75 years now. And, you know, we have a couple of chief roles of what we do. And it's just a great place for folks to get together and to network and to, you know, really work together on the issues that face Christian communicators.
Yeah. Now, and obviously the convention is kind of the big deal each year, but obviously there's some things throughout the year that you guys do to help equip folks and advocate for broadcasters and things like that. Walk me through some of that.
Yeah. So the NRB has an annual convention. We'll talk about that a little more in a second, but throughout the year, NRB is doing a lot of other stuff. Advocacy, you talked about advocating for communicators. That's a big part of what we do. NRB's headquarters are located right there in Washington, D.C., just a block over from Union Station, about 2.5 blocks down from the new FCC offices, a group that we work with a lot. So we're working on the issues and concerns and things that come up in government that relate to any kind of communicator. So if you're a radio broadcaster, television broadcaster, if you're a digital broadcaster, if you're doing stuff in books today, as we said, or in any area, there's a lot of issues that the government, you know, steps into. There's a lot of regulations you have to navigate through. There's laws that come into effect. And so NRB works hard to advocate for who we are, especially to keep the, you know, the core of what we do is to keep the avenues open for the gospel. That's really what we want to do. You know, back in 1944, there was a group that really wanted to take Christian pastors off of radio, just didn't want to allow them to be on radio. So that wasn't a place for them. NRB got together, a group formed, started this and said, no, pastors have a right to be on radio. And we do the same today. Pastors have a right. Churches have a right. Parachurch ministries have a right to be communicators in the public space. So throughout the year, we do that. And then we also help folks throughout the year equipping. So we answer a lot of questions of how do I do this in church media? How do I get started in podcasting? How do I do better fundraising? How do I get started in fundraising? How do I do a 501c3? I want to get into ministry. And another big thing we do throughout the year is bring people together. You know, as Christians, we do better in partnerships than we do all by ourselves. You know, the Bible tells us that a cord of three strands is stronger than two, and no man stands alone. So we bring a lot of folks together in partnerships, different folks that are working in ministry. Some folks are in the distribution side. Some folks are in the content creation side. Some folks are providing services to ministry. So our job is to sort of help all those folks get together.
How about the last year? I'm sure you guys have been incredibly relevant in all three of those areas. Tell me what the last year kind of your relevance has been like in the sphere of ministry.
Well, a couple of things in the last year. You know, the COVID year, we had a lot of challenges. So the first thing I think we really started off early helping with is all the restrictions went into place. A lot of churches had to sort of up their game. You know, they maybe dabbled in online, but didn't do a whole lot of online. So we helped a lot of churches answer a lot of questions and connect them with a lot of people that could help them get their online programs working when they were not meeting in person. So that really, the first part of the year, we did a lot of that, a lot of advice, a lot of connecting with folks together to say, how do I do this? You know, it's kind of interesting that churches went from hey, this is sort of a thing that I need to do to a thing I have to do. And not just churches, almost any communicators. We had to go from in-person meetings to all of these kind of Zoom calls and virtual sort of things. So there was a lot of that. And then, of course, as the year progressed and this all sort of worked on, then we had a lot of advocacy issues. We did a lot of work with the Justice Department with states that were overreaching on, you know, putting more restrictions on religious organizations than they were on, you know, other or similar organizations in their community. So we advocated a lot for churches to be able to meet, to do it safely, to do it effectively. And so there was a lot of that last year. It was a big year. It was a challenging year. But I think we saw the church thrive, and some folks saw their ministries grow online significantly,
right,
reaching a number of people for the gospel.
Yeah, especially early on, and then everything. Yeah, Beth, let me talk to you a second. When we talk about NRB and who it's made up of, I want especially this audience to know. We deal with a lot of pastors and church tech leaders and communications folks and churches. Tell me who NRB is made up of. Troy mentioned a little bit, but kind of give me the lowdown of all the areas that you guys serve.
Yeah, absolutely. The church media is a big part of it, along with pastors, but also includes radio stations, radio programming, the same for TV. We deal with films, people who represent films. We deal with talent, digital media. That's a big component. We also have an international component. We have people that come in who want to be trained, who want to network, who want mentors in the United States, as well as we have an intercollegiate group. Now, these are students in Christian schools who want to be communicators. They want to be in the media. And communicator meaning anybody who's spreading the Christian message. It could be any of these people and more. Troy, did I leave out anybody?
No, I think you got them all. And that's, and I think you hit on a good piece there. You know, anybody who really is in communications, called to communicate, which all of us in Christianity really are called to. I mean, you have to, if you're in ministry, you're going to be communicating some way, some form, in print, in voice, in audio, in video, you know, somewhere. But I think Beth's got a good point. One of the things that NRB does really good at is mentoring. So if you're new and you feel the call to get into Christian ministry and in the ministry that's in the communication area, NRB is a great place to network, to be mentored by folks that have been in this for 20 or 30 years. So, you know, that's really who NRB is about.
Yeah. And I love how, and I've been a part of the convention for a number of years. I love how the older crowd, I mean, you're going to see some names that you're going to know and recognize, but pastors and broadcasters, as well as on down the line to students, everybody in the mix. And that's what I love is everybody is very, it's a very community driven thing and everybody helping each other. So I think that training and mentor piece is huge. Dan, let's go to you. So a lot of pastors have moved to a digital platform, even if they didn't have one before. So I want a lot of pastors that may not have been in the digital world to know about NRB and to know what you guys provide and also just how to reach people digitally. So maybe talk at that for a minute. How does this relate to pastors who have moved to more digital platforms?
I think it relates in a couple of ways. You know, a lot of our members who are pastors are also broadcasters, you know, right. So they have their sermons on radio or television, but then some of them are authors, some of them are speakers, so they're engaged in that way. I also think for churches, particularly now, and Troy touched on this a little bit, but COVID has accelerated, you know, digital ministry for churches, which you understand well, Carl, just given what you do. So I think for pastors, there's a twofold thing. I think one, they want to be just aware of kind of what the advocacy issues are in terms of, you know, the platforms and some of these religious liberty issues that we advocate for and free speech, but also they want to equip their church media professionals. So if you're working at a church and you're interacting with church media, really it's important to come to NRB. And I think of this in a couple of ways. You know, some of the larger churches have a pretty robust church media staff, and you know, they have someone specifically doing that. And we're going to have some of those folks there to help train and teach us. Going to have some of those at convention. But then I think of smaller churches, like church I attend, and I'm one of the pastors there. We're about 350, 400. Most of our church media is volunteer run, although we have a worship pastor that kind of oversees that. And this is where NRB is really helpful because, you know, those guys can get trained and equipped on how to really do this with excellence, whether it's interacting with our content throughout the year or coming to a convention. And we're really trying to think through that. We want to reach church media professionals. We want to be a place where they can come and get equipped and understand it. And I think there's both sides of this help them, both the equipping side, but also the advocacy work we do, because, you know, every church is platform dependent. We have content on YouTube, we have it on Vimeo, we have it on Facebook, and we want to make sure that those platforms are available for the kind of work that churches do. So there's really a lot of important reasons, I think, for churches to be involved.
I know that you've written several books and have written a lot of blog content and other things in the last few months especially. What are some of the things that you've really kind of leaned into as you coach and train and talk to churches and pastors and other leaders?
Yeah, I think this has been one of the hardest years to be to lead in the church. There's so much division, whether it's around COVID, whether it's around some of the political tensions, racial tensions. So leadership is really difficult right now. And this is one of the areas I think where NRB is really helpful, that there's a lot about leadership in terms of content and how to lead, but whether it's an organization or lead a church. So I've been really trying to focus on leadership and helping pastors and church leaders lead well in this moment. I also think there's a lot of, even though this has been a devastating, you know, 12 to 14 months, there's also some silver linings in that this has allowed churches to maybe be more innovative than they would be before, because, you know, when we canceled everything in March, you know, March, April, May last year, when you take everything off the board, and then when you start coming back to church, you can decide, okay, what do we want to put back on the board? Or are there things that we've been wanting to kind of discontinue in terms of our churches, church, whatever, that we're just going to keep doing that? And it's also a really good incentive to get the digital piece of your church. I think everyone understands that we want to gather as churches, that digital ministry is not enough for us. You know, we need the in-person gathering. However, we also need a robust digital presence and a way to connect. And so I think having this season has really forced churches and allowed churches to really get that up to speed. And I think, you know, we want to help equip them to take it to the next level. Like, if we're going to do digital, let's do it well. I know our church particularly really invested a lot in getting our digital ministry, whether it's our live stream or stuff we, you know, every day, we invested in getting it to a higher level of quality. And yeah, I think a lot of churches are in that position.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about here, Dan, one of the ways that we've partnered together in equipping people throughout the year, not just at convention, is through a new initiative that we call Church Media Masterclass. You want to talk to me about how that came about and how we've partnered together on that?
Yeah, we're really excited about this. You know, this is really a masterclass for any church media professionals that really want to, again, raise their game. And we recruited a lot of really good talent from churches around the country that are doing this well, or from some of the digital ministries that are doing this well, even from some of the platforms and software, some of those folks. And it's basically a series of sessions that churches can go through with their team to help them get up to speed. And again, I'm thinking about, in my mind, I'm thinking about the worship pastor who has also been tasked with doing this stuff. Right. And maybe he went to school for worship or theology, but he didn't go to school to figure out how to like get their live stream right or right, whatever. He can go through this class and really get up to speed on some of the best practices. And this is, I think it's really valuable. It's a pretty low price point. that a church, a whole team could go through, or, you know, some of the people on the team, whether you're a small church or a large church, really. And glad to partner with you, Carl, and your great team there.
Yeah, churchmediamasterclass.com is the website if you guys want to check that out. Great instructors, and just I'm really, really excited about it. It's going to be great.
And by the way, I just want to throw in there, if you're an NRB member, you get a significant discount.
Yeah.
So just FYI.
Yep. Good point. Yep. Thanks for that. All right, Troy, let's talk about, let's move back to the advocacy piece of NRB. And I really want pastors to understand this, especially church leaders, that the work that you guys do really is important to make Sunday happen. The name of this podcast is Making Sunday Happen. And some of it is, if the government shuts us down, Sunday ain't happening. So you guys do a lot of work in making sure that, you know, our freedoms are protected and things like that. You want to talk about some of the political aspects of what you guys do?
Yeah, some of the, you know, governmental aspects. NRB is a nonpartisan organization. You know, we like to work with just anybody, anywhere in government, again, to, as we said, advocate on behalf of pastors and Christian communicators. You know, we live in a world, let's be honest, it's a little more hostile today than maybe 20 or 30 years ago, certainly than 50 years ago, toward the gospel. And it's growing in, you know, hostility more and more. The last year during the pandemic, as we talked about earlier, there were several places around the country, several states that stepped up and really treated churches in a much harsher environment with much harsher regulations what their restrictions were, you know, compared to other similar kinds of organizations or businesses. And so, you know, that kind of advocacy, stepping in on behalf of religious rights in the First Amendment, you know, it's one of the things our founders put in there, that the right of free speech, the right of assembly. Pastors, I don't know that they realize how hard it is getting. If you remember about 8 years ago, the city of Houston, the mayor, sent a letter out to all the pastors saying, hey, you need to have your sermons cleared through our, you know, offices before, you know, they go out and you preach on Sunday. You know, they quickly pulled that back, you know, realizing that they, you know, overstepped their bounds. But it was organizations like NRB that came in and, you know, advocated and said, hey, wait, this is way out of bounds, way out of government reach. And I don't think pastors kind of maybe always understand that. Sometimes you're in, you know, just, you know, concentrating on being the best shepherd you could be. And that's what pastors, you know, should do. But I think you look at this last year, I think many pastors have realized that the government is overreaching on a lot of areas. Look what's happening just north of us in Canada, where, you know, a pastor spent, you know, several weeks in jail. And, you know, his condition to get out of jail was stop preaching the gospel. And now what they've done to his church is they've, you know, ringed it with a fence. So if we don't think that couldn't happen here, I think we're a little bit lost. But then there's some basic things too, even in the church, just understanding the regulatory landscape. You know, even when you're dealing with in churches with, you know, microphones and frequencies and everything else that goes on, right, you've got some regulatory landscape things that you have to navigate, understanding how the IRS works and what the questions are on the 990 forms for parachurch ministries. So we help organizations navigate all that. And then we do the other side of it too. What we do is help educate, you know, governmental institutes, the FCC. We meet with those guys and talk about the issues that are concerned with, you know, communicators, Christian broadcasters. We meet with the Federal Trade Commission, especially recently, talking more and more about what's going on in social media and social media censorship. You know, I think the number one call Dan and I were just talking about the other day is people call us and say, are we going to be taken off or taken down? What can we say? What can't we say? How do we say it? What do we do if we get a strike on YouTube? What happens if Facebook pulls my content? So, you know, there's just a whole host of areas that we work with. And as you talked about, government is just one area. So there's the legislative side that goes on, all the new laws that are coming in. There's the regulatory side, working with all the laws and regulations that are in place today. Then we have the judiciary, all the different cases that are coming up and being challenged in the court systems there that we kind of keep track of. We work with the executive branch on some things there. But we also have a new player out there that's a big area for advocacy for us. And that's the corporations in America. Mm-hmm. So corporations have stepped in and taken a whole new role that they really didn't have 10, 20, or 30 years ago. And this whole role of kind of being, you know, the thought police, especially in the social media giants. I mean, we've all read today about, you know, Facebook taking down certain political views. We've had several of our members that had their programs removed just for their pro-life stance. And so it's a big area. It's just day in, day out that I think pastors are very quickly realizing that while you might have been in your little area focusing on your church, these things are coming to your doorstep more and more.
How, if I'm a pastor, how much should I be worried about that things happening? And maybe a broader question is, how important is it for me to fight the culture wars? How important is that for me to do?
Well, it's as important as wanting to continue to preach the gospel. I mean, yeah. If you want to continue to openly, freely preach the gospel, then I think it's important you to be involved in the maybe not the cultural war is maybe that, but understanding what the changes are that's going on in the culture, understanding the different parts that are really more openly and actively opposing the gospel today. You know, I was just talking to my daughters who are in their, early 20s today, and there's, you know, several movements out there that, you know, they deal with on college campuses. You know, there's the sort of I don't care movement. I don't know if you've heard about that or not, but that's the movement where basically the, you know, atheist folks on the left or folks in the certain communities have said, I don't really care what the Bible says. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about the gospel. And if you're going to speak the Bible, that's hate speech, period. You can't talk about it on this campus. You can't talk about it in this avenue. Or there's the, you know, more ecumenical sort of movement, this whole Judas 8:2 kind of thing. The fact that, you know, Jesus loved Judas, so he loved everybody. And, you know, Christians just need to love everybody. Where, you know, pastors, I think for the most part, pastors are out there. They want to preach the gospel. They want to preach the truth of the scriptures. They want to shepherd their people well. They want to protect their people. And to do that, you have to know what some of the cultural challenges are going on that your flock, your congregation is going to deal with when they leave those doors for your, you know, after your Sunday sermon or after the, you know, weekly events. I think pastors need to be aware of what's really going on in the culture today.
I think it's unfortunate that so many things have moved into the political sphere, that everything's political now. And I think that's probably, and I'd love for you to speak to this, it's probably pushed pastors to be a little bit more political than they've wanted to be. You know, obviously, they're probably not standing in the pulpit telling you who to vote for necessarily. But, you know, I think of John MacArthur, I think of, you know, others that have been kind of pushed into, I have to make a stand because of what's coming down the pipe for me. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. And I think that's the one thing that I think it's, there is this polarization that's happened, where, you know, there was a while where both sides, you could work with both sides on certain issues, you know, it really wasn't quote political, it was just governmental overreach. And now it has moved into, you know, politics with the entrenchment on, you know, the left being entrenched in one party, the right being entrenched in another party. But I think for pastors to look beyond this idea that it's political, it's really about what you said earlier. It's really cultural engagement. It's not necessarily political because culture and politics, you know, happen to intersect. And that's what makes it political. It's that, it's either that overreach by the government or that reach by the government into, you know, the areas of influence of religion that have caused this to, you know, these clashes to take place. And so that's, you know, like I said, that's where pastors at NRB have to come in. You have to say, wait, even us working, we we've been working recently with the new Facebook Oversight Board and some folks, just educating them on the issues that are involved for pastors and Christian communicators. It's amazing when we talk to them or we talk to some of the social media companies and they said, well, I never really thought of it that way. I never really thought of it like that. I never thought about these folks' issues as well, that, you know, intolerance can go both ways, hate speech can go both ways, you know, that these guys feel. So there's a lot of stereotypes. There's a lot of, you know, walls that we have to bring down and barriers to people understanding that this is not, a hostility out there that Christianity wants to do. This is really at its core, this is the most loving message you could ever hear.
Dan, do you have any thoughts on this topic?
I do, actually. I think, you know, every pastor has to know, obviously, their audience, their congregation, and discern at what level they want to be engaged with some of these issues. You know, as Troy said, we don't need pastors to be pundits, to be, you know, out there every day, you know, slinging it on social media or whatever, or, you know, but I do think, you know, pastors can speak to the cultural issues in a way that can help shape inform the minds of their people, to shepherd their people. And this doesn't just mean in one direction, right? I mean, this, you know, wherever the Bible speaks, it's going to cut against the culture in some way. It's going to cut against our politics in some way. Right. And I think, as we do advocacy here, you know, as Troy said, we try to do it, you know, we're doing it in a nonpartisan way. So there are things that really concern us in terms of, you know, the censorship on the platforms and the free speech issues and the religious liberty issues that we'll continue to advocate for. But we also do it with gentleness and grace, and we engage in a way that's Christian. You know, 1 Peter 3:15 says, you know, have an answer for every person for the hope that lies within you, but do it with gentleness and kindness. So we stand firm on these things and we advocate, but we do it with gentleness and kindness. And I do think the Bible does give us a warrant, particularly in a society like ours, where we do have a voice and a vote to help shape that. Now, there's Christians in other parts of the world that don't have that opportunity, right? Christians in North Korea, right. Christians in China, for instance, they can't shape their country. And so, you know, there's no opportunity. But for us, we have that stewardship. And, you know, how do we use that? Do we use that to secure religious liberty for the next generation? Do we use that to try to help spread the gospel? People doing advocacy and people doing mission work, people doing advocacy and preaching the gospel are part of the same thing. We're, in a sense, if you're doing advocacy, you're holding the ropes for people who are doing gospel witness. You're providing space for that. So hopefully that makes sense.
You had something, Troy?
Yeah, well, and I agree with that. Dan's exactly right on. You know, we want to do it in love, but, you know, again, just to give recent examples in the culture today of pushing back, who would have ever thought that we would be in a, you know, March Madness, you know, college basketball tournament in a college, you know, Oral Roberts University, a Christian college, an NRB member, would be, you know, moving on through the ranks here to be the Cinderella upset team. And lo and behold, you'd have a major news organization come out and say, hey, they should be tossed out of this because it's a Christian school. You know, I think we're in a different time today than we've ever been in.
Yeah, I agree. And Dan, I would mention, I really enjoyed your master class, and you wrote a book on the social media context. I think it's important. You've had some really great words on how to treat social media, how pastors can be kind in their approach and not just be mudslinging or just be careful in their approach. And so I appreciate your words there. So, and just encourage people to check that out. All right. In our few minutes remaining together, Beth, I'd love to talk to you about convention this year. You are all things convention. So tell me kind of what to expect. And if I'm coming, and we obviously want to encourage people to go for networking and for training and equipping and everything else. Give me the lowdown of speakers and sessions and what I should expect.
Well, we're very excited to be meeting live and in person. Everybody's so ready to come together to learn and network and just meet and be together, see people face to face. And we're so fortunate to be in Texas. We'll be at the Gaylord Texan, just really close to DFW Airport. It's Grapevine. We will have, of course, our big forum sessions. We'll meet together and talk about very high-level topics, everything from public policy to the impact of the film and TV industry to Section 230, just a number of big topics that are also important to Christian communicators. We'll have a workshop stage, a talk stage. Those will both be on the exhibit floor. And speaking of exhibits, we have a number of exhibitors from a variety of different areas. If people there are wanting to showcase the new book that's out, the new film that's out, the new radio programming, there are people with equipment, just a wide variety of people on the exhibit floor. And again, the sessions there, we have a learning arena stage. We'll have podcasting live. We'll have live radio shows going on. It's just a very busy, exciting place. And people just enjoy being there and seeing old friends, making new friends. We're setting up some areas for a meet and greet. So if you're in if you're in radio and you want to meet people, get to know people in your same industry, we'll have places for that. The same for church media, the same for film and TV. And that those are places where people can have peer-to-peer discussion. And I think sometimes that's the best. You can listen to speakers and you gain a lot from that, but even more, it's sitting down and talking to someone who does what you do and having those conversations about, hey, this didn't work for me. How did you do this? Or how did you make that happen? Or how did you promote that? Or how did you manage that on Facebook? All of those things can be discussed on a peer-to-peer level. And those just happen all around during the event.
Yeah. I know one area that's really growing for you guys is the area of church media. Do you want to talk, or Dan, too, maybe the opportunities there for church media folks?
Yeah, absolutely. I encourage anybody who is involved in Christian media or wants to be involved to come to NRB. I was coming to NRB long before I worked here. I've been involved in Christian media my whole life, whether as an author, as a podcaster, as someone working in communications. I mean, it's just we're like all of Christian media converges, and it's hard to explain unless you come. Like, for instance, I've got a lot of friends that are my age that have been doing digital media really well, pastor friends, who are starting to ask me, hey, I want to get involved in radio. How do I get on the radio? And I'm saying, man, you got to come to NRB because there's nowhere else you can connect with radio folks like coming there. I've got other people who are really interested in church media or want to grow and get better. And I'm saying, you got to come. So there's a lot of equipping. The sessions this year, particularly, we added a lot more for church media and for digital media. Just in a post-COVID era, we just think that's important. So the sessions are great. The guests are great. I mean, Paula Ferris is going to be speaking, and President of Moody, Mark Jobe, is going to be speaking. Tony Evans, Joel Rosenberg is going to interview former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. That's all incredible, but really the networking, the meetings you can have with people from Moody Bible Institute or CBN or, you know, Bot Radio or all these ministries or agencies that serve these ministries like 5Q and other places. So that's my sales pitch for coming, but I really, you know, I was telling people to come before I worked here. So I feel like I can say this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And there's another big aspect. I think there's the advocacy aspect, there's the equipping aspect. But the other thing I think that really happens is it's so cool to walk around the hall and see a group of people in a circle praying, to see them praying for one another, to get that encouragement. I mean, it's been a really tough year. Let's face it, for a lot of people, it's been a lot of challenges. There's been a lot of discouragement, a lot of depression, you know, a lot of things to get through. It is so good to get together with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and just lift up one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, you know, share the scriptures together. I mean, that is the really neat thing about NRB is we're not just focused on, we don't forget that we're a Christian organization, and that kind of, even that kind of pastoral shepherding amongst communicators is so important.
Yeah. Well,
and if I could add one thing to that, I'm glad you mentioned that, Troy, the encouragement you know, we need this after being a year of cooped up and not doing our meetings and our gatherings. So you'll come and be encouraged. The other thing is I come away encouraged every year just to see what God is doing through our media, Christian media around the world, how the gospel is being spread through every single medium from traditional radio, television, and then into film, but like digital podcasting. Like I just, when I think I know kind of all the organizations and all the things, then you come and you're like, wow, this is happening. And this is happening in this country. And this is happening over here. So you'll come and just be wowed by what the Lord is doing. I know there's a lot of negative headlines about Christians, a lot of negative headlines about evangelicals, all that. Then you come to interview, you're like, man, God's doing a lot around the world to spread the gospel. So,
amen.
Yeah. And again, the networking piece is so awesome to see. Not that the sessions are amazing, but I know in years past, I've seen people that have purposely skipped a session to network with somebody, or and all of it's great. You know, people take in what they need to, but that networking piece is so important. And I think meeting in person is, you know, and I wrote an ebook on church online, so I'm definitely down with digital platforms, but being there's just something about being in person with other believers, especially that do the same thing in the broadcast field. All right, Troy, let's kind of put a bow on our conversation. Give me a kind of a temperature check of where we are and where do you think we're going? What does the next year look like from advocacy, from broadcasting, from what we can do in our churches? Kind of tell us where we're going in the future.
Well, let's talk about the good, the bad. The good side is we live in a great time to be Christian communicators. We really do. I mean, we talk a lot about the bad. We talk about censorship. We talk about cancel culture and that. But we also don't realize that the opportunities that we have today to be setting in our small churches, our small communities, or our large communities and communicating globally. You know, we're reaching people, to be communicating with our congregations on a daily basis, to be encouraging them. So there's a lot going on that's really, really good in Christian communications. It's a great time to be a Christian communicator. There's opportunities for podcasting, video podcasting, you know, sending out encouragement, email blast and text blast, and all those things that can really help. At the same time, like you said, on the advocacy side, we live in a pretty challenging time. The more the gospel, I think, goes forward, the more the enemy tries to stop it. And so we do have those real challenges of the cancel culture. We do have Christians who are worried to step up and talk about this truth or that truth because they're going to, you know, be shamed. So we know that this next year we're going to roll our sleeves up. We're all hoping that we're coming into a post-COVID year, that we're finally seeing this pandemic come to an end. Like, we didn't talk about it, but, you know, we're still taking a number of safety steps and precautions. When you come down to Grapevine, we'll be doing everything that the local or state regulatory stuff asked us to do in restrictions. We're working very closely with the hotel. So we expect there will be something still in place. We're going to meet or exceed all those to make it as safe as possible. But I think we've all seen the COVID trend going in the right direction. I think you said we're ready to get together. And I think it's a time that really the church is going to pull together. That you remember, it's the church that moves forward, not the enemy. The Jesus said the gates of hell, you know, won't prevail. Those gates are fixed. They're not moving. The church is always moving in the culture. You know, I had the privilege of working for Dr. G. James Kennedy, and he wrote a book one time called What If the Bible Had Never Been Written? And it was really all about all the times throughout history that whenever the gospel came in, it changed culture. It changed culture for the better. It changed culture for women's rights. It changed culture for children. It changed culture for education. It changed culture for healthcare. You know, it really is the gospel at the core. And so I think on NRB's behalf and on behalf of all of our members, this is just a great time to continue to reach people with the gospel, roll our sleeves up. We got a lot of hard work ahead of us. We do have real enemies, but God is faithful and He's on the move.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you guys. I know to get all three of you at the same time and to take time with me was awesome. So thank you. Thank you for taking the time with me today. And thank you guys for what you do. It's going to be an incredible convention this year. And I love you guys. I love what you do. So thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, children's pastors and leaders. Get ready to transform your kids' worship experiences with 1230 Kids. We're serving your children's ministry with a massive, ready-made media library with done-for-you countdowns, games, mini-movies, full kids' series kits, lyric videos with hand motion versions for kids' worship, and more. Pick up media individually or save with Go Unlimited with plans as low as $33 a month. We also provide custom media for kids' ministries and curriculum providers. We've produced custom graphics and videos for Seeds Family Worship, Awana, Children's Ministry Deals, Go Curriculum, Yancey, and others. We also provide free training for your kids' leaders. Get help with social media, church online, volunteers, programming, worship, and more. Get started today at 1230kids.com. That's 1230kids.com.
The show notes for this episode are available now at makingsundayhappen.com.
Hey guys, next week on the show, we will arrive at episode number 300. And we'll unveil a new look to the show, some new segments, and we'll welcome artist, worship leader, bassist for the Newsboys, Phil Joel, will be in the house. You don't want to miss next week. It's going to be so, so much fun. Phil really has a heart for worship, a heart for churches, and shares some incredible tips, incredible advice for worship leaders and for ministers who have been in ministry for a number of years. So that's going to be a great episode. All right, 1230.media is our website. We would love for you to check us out for ready-made media, custom media, and training for your church. 1230.media is the website. Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out. Go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit makingsundayhappen.com.